This is season 2, episode 5 of the Transformation Chamber with mompreneur, NFL vet, and owners of the Cookie Society, Marissa and Jeff Allen. In this episode, we discuss the strength of humility, removing ego to gain perspective, and why sacrifice, trust, commitment, and understanding are the tools for any successful partnership. Also, find out why Oprah loves their cookies. With that being said, let's step into the Transformation Chamber. Welcome to another episode of the Transformation Chamber, man. I am super excited all the way out here in Frisco, Texas with some beautiful people. I'll tell you guys a little bit about the guests today. This is my first time, first of all, interviewing a couple, two people at once, and I'm super excited that it's you guys. We met maybe, I want to say, 3-4 years ago in Houston.
Yeah.
So I have Jeff and Marissa Allen here with me, man. This is Black excellence, Black love at the highest form, and Black business. And so I am proud to be able to even say I'm associated with them to get them on the show. I'll give you a little bit about both of them, and then you guys can, I'll let you guys kind of dip into your background and how we got here, and then we'll kind of talk about where we're going. Yeah. I met Jeff when you had come over to the Houston Texans to play a little bit from, you had been...
Kansas City,
mm-hmm. and then ended up going back there. And so at the time I met them, he was telling me how he was like, man, I'm about to invest in my wife. She's an amazing cook. And I'll let him tell the story. But I, if I'm not mistaken, you were like, well, you know, you wanted to cook for people. But he was like, yo, like, you can do this, right?
Yeah.
And then
So
the idea was there. And then to see the idea come to fruition, which Marissa Allen is the boss of the Just Cookie Society.
The Cookie Society.
Okay.
We try to keep it casual on social, you know.
You know what I'm saying? Cookie Society. You know what I'm saying? But they got both, they acquired both of them. So make sure you check that out. So this business is doing, when I say doing well, I just talked to them about people standing outside at 2:30 a.m. just to get, is it a honey, what was cinnamon roll?
Cinnamon roll.
First of all, 2:30 a.m., I'm not even in existence at that time. So to wake up for a cinnamon roll, there has to be one really great cinnamon roll. So that was my long intro. Jeff and Marissa, welcome to the show. How are you guys?
Thanks for having us.
All right. So we're going to jump right in. Like, just, because I've never had this opportunity before, I really want to focus on Black love on this show,
Right?
And hopefully that's cool, right?
I
love all kind of love, but I have a great example, I think, in you two guys. And I was telling Jeff earlier when I met you guys, I was so enamored by how happy you guys were. It felt real and felt genuine. Tell me a little bit about, I guess, where both of you guys are from and how you guys met, and then we'll move from there.
I was going to let my wife, beautiful wife, lead the conversation, but I'm going to take the opportunity to tell my story, you know. So I grew up, born and raised in Chicago, the youngest of three, two older siblings. Pretty much played football my entire life. That was my ticket. Got a scholarship to the University of Illinois where I met this beautiful young lady.
Nice.
Who introduced herself to me.
Okay.
You know,
okay. Women are taking charge.
That's why he had to jump out.
She was an athlete too. She was a college athlete.
Okay.
At the University of Illinois, we shared a training facility.
Oh.
So all the student athletes shared the same trainers. And I was hurt one morning and I was getting some rehab. And she came up and she said, hey, how you doing? Bright and bubbly. And it's like 7 a.m. I'm tired. I'm hurt. I'm in a grumpy mood.
Right. Like, what are you so excited about?
So, I couldn't hear because I had headphones on. I said, hey, how's it going? And got my attention. I moved one of my headphones.
Yeah.
And then I moved it back. And
I wasn't even worried about you.
I kind of blew her off. And when I came to my senses, when I kind of woke up,
right.
I said, man, that was a beautiful girl.
Right.
But I didn't see her again for months.
Oh, man.
I saw her out on campus at the bar, and I asked her on a date.
This is my chance.
Hey, you know, this is my chance. She was looking beautiful. I was like, this is my opportunity. I was like, I'd love to take you on a date. And she turned me down, man.
Nice. Don't be easy, ladies.
She turned me down.
You
I was
curved
like,
him.
I was like, dang, you know. Your loss.
But actually,
no, but actually, there's the, it's her side of the story, it's my side of the story. She sends me a friend request on Facebook. Mm. I was like, okay, you know, there's still potential there. She puts up a status. This is before online was even a thing, before sliding into DMs was a thing. She puts up something. I slid in the DMs.
Okay.
I think I was the first person ever.
You
do
are
it.
The originator of DMs.
I was the original. I was the first person ever do it. And, you know, planned out a date. We went on a date and we've been dating ever since.
I love it. Okay, I really want to hear your side of the story. I want to give you
I'm
a chance.
I'm not going to contradict it too much.
Okay.
He got the details. We met at the University of Illinois. I was playing soccer. You're younger than Jeff. And met in the training room. I had chronic knee issues, hip issues. So I was always in there. So I was, you know, it was his first time in the training room. He didn't mention that point. Jeff never got hurt back in college. Mm. And so I'm a fixture in the training room getting something worked on. But this was kind of his first serious injury. And so he was not happy, but I was always happy. So fast forward, I shot him down. He tried again, you know, work for things you want, things you deserve.
Yeah.
And yeah, so we did long distance for a year, actually.
Yeah.
Jeff got drafted when I was going into my senior year. We got engaged at Christmas of my senior year, and then I moved to Kansas City.
Yeah,
that's beautiful.
That's
kind of
how it
fast forward to, I mean, been
two
a decade.
Kids. Yeah, been together for 10 years.
Congratulations on
that. Thank you.
So what was that long distance like and that transition, you going to the league, you going to your senior year, what was that year like for you guys? I'm curious.
It was different. You know, when you talk about love, it finds you.
Mm.
Honestly, I wasn't even thinking about a relationship. I wasn't thinking about finding a wife. My main focus was to go to the NFL.
Man.
And then I met her, and I was like, I had an opportunity to leave my junior year to go to the NFL. I'm glad I didn't, because I was able to grow.
Man. You
know, I was able to grow as a human being and as a football player, and I was able to meet my future wife. Yeah, man, and I got drafted. I left, and I missed her. I was like, man, I missed this girl.
Wow.
You know, a young guy coming to a bunch of money.
Yeah, and you missed.
And I was like, and that's how I knew.
Yeah.
I was
like, that's amazing.
So I was like, that's my wife, man.
That's amazing.
And I was like, I'm going to propose to her. We end up getting engaged Christmas Eve, 2013.
Our family there in Kansas City.
And got married a year later.
Wow. Okay. Okay. That's like a, you know what I'm saying? It sounded like a Disney movie. Kinda.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. We were together for 2 years before we got engaged.
Right. And it was I don't know. I never thought that we wouldn't be together when you left. I didn't really have a, it was like,
worry.
Oh, we're going to figure this out. We saw each other. We tried to make it work. I have one more season to play. And so he was coming to me when you guys had Thursday games and we met in Chicago for the spring.
Right.
Yeah. We just kind of made it work, and no.
Definitely.
That's awesome.
You said, definitely make it work if it's worth it.
Right, if it's worth it.
That's love.
You said you grew.
I grew.
Can you pinpoint, like, and you know, areas that you grew, and what do you mean when you say that?
I grew as I was mature. I mean, obviously, you know, as a male, you go through different stages and things like that. And,
right.
And you have different relationships, and you don't really take them serious.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's because of age or if that's because of finding the right person.
Right, man.
And I just think I found the right person.
That's beautiful.
You know, I was young at the time. I was only, I mean, we met when I was, 20?
We celebrated my 21st birthday.
When we was 20. Yeah. I was 20 when I met her. So, I mean, I was relatively young, but I felt then that I met the right person.
That's awesome. And Marissa, for you, like, when you met him, what were your thoughts and things? Especially since he's saying you kind of came up to him, <It's> like, you was the one going after him. Like, how did you pinpoint Jeff? Like, you know what I mean?
I don't know. All those things aside, I had just gotten out of a bad not just gotten out, but I had been in a bad relationship before. And like Jeff was saying, growing, and whether it be age or relationships, you kind of learn what you deserve after things like that. And you know, I wasn't trying to find anybody either. I just really enjoyed your company and being around you, and I felt safe and I felt like appreciated around you. And so I think that was, it's like, okay, we can kind of figure the rest out, but I think that was kind of the start of it. And you made me laugh.
Yo,
you're funny.
Yeah. Hey, that's one way to get a girl a good, you know, at least get her attention if you can make her laugh. I know that for a fact. It's been one of my secret weapons. So moving on to, you know, the reason why I started the show, and I always like to just reiterate it, is you know, people see the success. Now, like, look where we are. Look at, this was an idea when I met you guys. Like,
it wasn't
even this idea. And I mean, just look at it. I'm so, like, proud to be able to say I at least talked to you guys when you guys were conceptualizing it, and now you got people lining up outside at 2:30 in the morning. Let's just talk about kind of purpose. Do you guys have, like, you know, this is our reason why we do what we do. Is there something you could speak to?
Well, for me, it's representation. There are not too many people that look like us that are even in this field, you know, at this level.
For sure.
So we want to be able to break a barrier, do some things that have been done before, and also leave a legacy for our children.
I love it.
And I played professional football for 9 years, but you can't leave football to your children. Mm-hmm. You know, you could amass some wealth and whatever, but they're not going to remember those things. Mm-hmm. They're going to remember me getting up every morning, coming here and building this brand and this business. And I'll be able to give them knowledge. So I think that's what we, that's the purpose right now.
That's heavy.
Yeah. And I think for me, it was, like finding a personal purpose and like kind of having something for myself. because I didn't work while Jeff was playing. I took care of our family. We did a lot of moving around. There's just a lot of uncertainty that comes with the NFL. And so it wasn't my time, but he always said it would be my time. And so I think I want to leave that for my daughter. Like, you can really do anything. And also, it's kind of God's timing. Like, it's not, you know, I was always itching. Like, I was just going to jump into anything. I tried photography. Right. I did food blogging, which I still do. And that's still a passion.
Right.
But I tried a lot of different things. But that wasn't going to be it. But when I started baking cookies and when I kind of first spoke kind of my vision for Cookie Society, Jeff was like, that's it. And he believed in me. And I think I want our kids to see that too, and how to support someone else, like selflessly support someone.
I love it. So. I love it. No, I mean, so I spoke with this with a past guest, Earl Mitchell, with, you know, and I'm not sure if you know Earl as well, but they know each other through football, and the average football career right now is 3.3 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you played 9 years. So first of all, that's amazing, right? Congratulations.
Appreciate it.
And then to be able to look at your family and say, how can I support this and leave a legacy and pour into her gift and her passion? Mm-hmm. It's just amazing. You know what I mean? So you took your overflow and your sacrifice, and you sacrificed your body for all these years and say, here you go, wife. Here you go, baby. Like, now let's take this thing to the next level. Let's support what you're amazing at. And now, again, look where we are.
Yeah, it's definitely about supporting one another and being a partnership. You know, we're partners. We don't look at one another as someone that's more important or someone that's less important. Exactly. We're equal. And, you know, at the time, her role was to support me in doing what I was doing. So now it's my job to support her.
Absolutely.
Because she's earned it.
Absolutely.
I mean, she's 100% put in all the work. This isn't something that, you know, I just want to throw money at.
Yeah.
I saw the work she was putting in.
Yeah.
You know, I saw how passionate she was about it. You know, me loving her is important.
Mm-hmm.
But me seeing that was really, really made me believe.
Okay. Okay. So I'm just so curious. As a couple, you guys sound like really mature, right? Like, as so what do you attribute this to? This ability to kind of see what's the most important thing and not only see it, but live it and practice it every day?
For me, it was just the way I was brought up.
Okay.
You know, I'm the youngest, so I pretty much was the only child. My sisters are much older than me. My dad passed away when I was young, so I grew up on the south side of Chicago. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things that I could have gotten into.
Yeah, for sure.
So I had to grow up fast. So for me, so for me, it was like, you know, it's either I grow up or I'm going to be a product of my environment.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I had to grow up fast. So that my maturity started at a young age.
Interesting.
Being a man of the house, you know, 13, 14.
Yeah.
You know, working jobs, trying to figure out how to bring money in a legal way. And in some ways, that's how my entrepreneurial spirit started. Mm-hmm. You know, I was selling candy.
There we go.
You know, I was that kid that was selling candy in school and, you know, figuring out ways to pay off security guards so I wouldn't get caught.
Exactly. Moving like a boss. And what about you, in terms of like being able to, one, support a man who has such a taxing career, right? And then understanding that now it's my turn to, you know, take on this role and this responsibility of like going on, which I know you guys are partners, but it's you're the passion one behind this thing. Mm-hmm. How do you foresee that? Sorry.
No, you're good. Don't get me wrong. It was hard at times, to support, just to be in this, like, kind of, it was never secondary, but it was definitely a background role. Mm-hmm. So like taking care of the house and taking care of the kids, because my mom always worked. She was a teacher. And now she's a principal, and I saw her go and get her master's degree and do all of these things. And I did have moments of feeling insignificant.
Wow.
And so that part was really hard, but there's something about, like, as far as when you talked about maturity and stuff,
right.
The NFL makes you grow up really, really fast.
Right.
So much of it is uncertain from injuries, which we've been through, from moving teams, moving cities. Your job is always on the line, and it's just so public, and everybody has an opinion about your job.
Exactly.
And I think that really forced us to kind of like lean on each other, and we really learned how to tune out some of those outside forces.
I think
it's done nothing but help our relationship. And I think it, knowing that he was focused on me and our family and our relationship, it, like, coming back to like kind of security, and it allowed me to better find my purpose, to kind of give me the space to find my purpose.
That's beautiful.
So
come on, man. This is like walking, talking poetry right now. Okay. I lost my question. It was such a good question. No, because the way that y'all are complimenting each other, and I felt this when I first met y'all, I was like, man, there's something special about those two. And so, how much of that sacrifice, mm-hmm. playing that quote-unquote background role, has helped prepare you for where you are now?
Ooh, I think a lot. But if anything, I think it's helped me appreciate kind of the role that Jeff has fallen into, because I know it's probably been like a really abrupt change from where you were.
Mm-hmm.
And I do probably need to tell you even more, but like, I really appreciate it. So like right now I'm at the bakery 6 a.m. Several days a week. Mm-hmm. Like we're here, we work 7 days a week. And so Jeff's getting our kids to school, and Jeff's picking them up from school, and also working here. And so I think it's allowed me to like see what you're doing for what it is. Like it's just a different kind of sacrifice. It's just not as physical of one as you were doing before on the field. But yeah,
that's amazing.
I think that's what it's prepared me for most.
And Jeff, the change that she talked about, you know, going from spotlight, taxing, working, like just putting so much on your mind and your body, to now the role that you're playing. Can you talk about that transition and also how it's changing you? Like, and what's the change that's happened?
It's definitely different. Not as competitive. I'm not beating my body up as much.
Right.
But in some sorts, it's the same. You know, working with a team. You know, we have a team of employees, wonderful employees, you know, that come in every day and put on for us.
Uh-huh.
You know, from making sure the product is good and having great customer service.
Yeah, man.
You know, but being an offensive lineman, it's a selfless job.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a thankless job. It's one of those jobs where you don't recognize us until we mess up. You know, so that's why my personality is the way it is.
Wow.
It's a very humbling job.
Wow.
So you have to be a humble person to be an offensive lineman.
Wow.
So for me, transitioning from being an offensive lineman to doing this and playing a secondary role, I've always played that role.
Man.
So in that sense, it's the same.
Cold. Hey.
That's true.
Just kudos to y'all to be able to transfer mindsets and see how you can build strength from where you are at a certain time, and how it's preparing you for the next thing you're going through. Like, that's just amazing. A lot of times people take humility as weakness, right? Mm-hmm. And I know this personally. Like, I do my best to be a man of service daily, right? And it took me a while to understand how my humility made me stronger in so many areas. Can you guys just speak to, like, the power of humility and how it's such a lethal weapon that's often overlooked?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, one of the biggest things that could tear a man down or a woman is ego.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Letting your pride get in the way and not assessing the situation properly. Letting your own ego get in the way and not taking yourself and removing yourself and looking at it from a different perspective. And that's human nature. I mean, that's what's wrong with the world.
Yeah.
Everyone has an ego. Everyone thinks it's all about them, but you got to think about everyone.
That's
you got to think about everyone around you. In our business, we have to think about our team. You know, we have to think how they're affected with certain changes and certain things with scheduling. Recipes, like, you know, it may sound good to us, but how is that going to affect the next person? Mm-hmm. So you got to think about everyone mm-hmm. when you're in a leadership role. You have to be a humble person to be mm-hmm. a leader.
Yeah. You want to add anything to that?
No, I mean, I think when it comes to kind of what Jeff was talking about, decisions that we make affecting other people. I think that's something that that's one of our strengths, is we do a really good job of keeping kind of other people in mind, especially because when we started this business, I remember we put out an ad and we're like, hey, we need some help. And we had these girls who still are with us today kind of just answer this call. They didn't know what they were showing up to. We were still in the commercial kitchen. And they're like, so what do you do here? And we're like, you know, we make cookies that people buy on the internet and we're going to ship them. But one day we're going to open a store, guys.
Wow.
And they have been just with us through this whole time. And so I think it's really shaped us as leaders. Like, how can we not let these women, these people down?
Yeah.
And admitting when you're wrong or when you like kind of make a misstep is hard. And like, we were behind on construction when we were coming in here, and we had people that were depending on this job, and I was like, okay, you know, and it's just, you know, you just have to be honest and upfront with them, and they stuck with us because we were able to exhibit that humility. Like, we don't know what we're doing, but we're trying to figure it out. We're trying to bring you with you with us.
Yeah.
And so,
definitely. I think that's one of the main forces, the main reasons why we opened during COVID. We opened in the middle of a pandemic.
Exactly.
We were supposed to open before, and no one knew the schedule of the pandemic, but we were supposed to be open before it happened, and things got delayed, and everything's in God's timing.
Yeah.
But April 18th was our opening day in the middle of COVID.
Stay at home order.
Right.
But the reason why we did it wasn't because of us. You know, if we were just thinking about us, we'd have said, you know what, let's play it safe.
Right.
Let's not open it, and let's, you know, put people on payroll. It's kind of risky.
Man.
You can lose a lot of money operating when you're not making money. But we were like, you know, we have an opportunity to give these people jobs.
For sure. For sure.
And no matter how it works out, we're going to give it a shot. And we're going to give them an opportunity.
The people who I know who are most successful, whatever they're doing it for other people. Like, it's very rarely about them, but we reap the benefits. Like, those things, it comes. But when someone, serving people is your forefront, is your mission, you're going to make sure they're okay. And by the way, you're making sure you're okay.
Definitely. So
let's talk about, and we talked about purpose already. Have you guys, I heard a pastor say it this way one time. Does your love have purpose? Have you guys thought about, like, what is important about our love as opposed to, you know, any other relationship? What is the thing that's driving this? And why is it that you must be together?
Ooh. That's the first.
You know what I'm saying? Welcome to the Transformation Chamber.
That's a great question. I think for me, it's not knowing what love is. Mm-hmm. I mean, for everyone is a different definition. You know, my dad passed away when I was young, so I didn't have the opportunity to see my mom and dad's love.
Right.
So for me, I'm learning every day. I'm growing.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about being humble. Love is about being humble. And I think that's, communication is a big part of it.
Uh-huh.
And also being able to take a step back and realize in situations where you're not always right. And then setting the example when you have children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because that goes down the road. I mean, that's something that could be the base for them. I know she has both her parents. They've been married for a while.
Right.
They're still together.
So, I mean, that's a great example for her.
Exactly.
But for me, I didn't have that example. So I'm trying my best to set an example for my children, the same one she had.
Man, it's so good. Yo, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I think definitely the example for our kids. And you said that when we were first, like when we were having our daughter Joy, is that you just really want to be a good dad, even though you had grown up without one in your house. And that's when I knew, like, I was like, this is a good man, y'all. because he wanted to do something he had never seen be done before. And he stepped out on faith to do this. And I feel like every day you wake up with intentions to be like a good father and a good example for our children. And that's something I want to leave for them. But at the same time, our love is different than my parents' kind of relationship. I feel like we have had to take our own different kind of steps of faith. And I mean, we've lived in cities without family. We've raised two kids without, you know, the support system of family in the same area. You've had a much more public and like risky career. And so we've nursed you back from injuries, and there is nothing like watching your husband go down on a field, that you're like, man, in the stands, but can't get to him.
Can't
and so,
do anything about it,
And that like kind of changes you. And I think it really strips away a lot of things that don't matter. And so I think that's really helped us kind of be on the same page from the jump with the Cookie Society.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, I mean, there are plenty of different agreements, probably more than ever now that there's so many little decisions to make every single day, down to like, what boxes are we going to order? Right. How many boxes to order? All kinds of like little things. But I think probably since starting the business, I feel like our love has had more purpose than ever before too.
So I got a slew of questions right away. So I think one of the biggest things that hinders Black love is the situation that Jeff talked about. I also lived through, and so many other Black men where dad wasn't there, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it was death or he was a deadbeat, or, you know, in my case, my dad was in prison, my dad was deported. And so it was so many different reasons. And what happens is we don't get these examples of love. And this is more so for you, Marissa. Can you talk to the important, or really speak to women, because it's a high number of us, right? It's a high number of us. So what are some of the things that women need to consider when they engage a man like that, who maybe he didn't have a best example of love, but you know he's capable of loving? Could you speak to that?
Yeah. I mean, I think because Jeff, you lost your father when you were pretty young. Mm-hmm. It didn't come up a lot. I just knew, you know, there wasn't a dad to meet when I was going back to Chicago to meet your family and everything. But I knew you had a good heart, and it was something you wanted. Like, you weren't scared of having a family. You weren't scared of being a husband. And so I think as long as there's that willingness and, like, I think you can kind of figure everything out. And it was a big adjustment for me, because things that are a non-issue were things we kind of had to work through together.
Right.
Because, I mean, I grew up and my dad was there, and I grew up in a different kind of, like, environment. Like, I have a completely different environment. I grew up in the suburbs of Plano, Texas.
Right.
And it was just really different. And so I really had to humble myself and look at things differently. And we're still, you know, always learning, and you have to be willing to listen, I think. But at the same time, you have to have some boundaries. I mean, that this wasn't necessarily our situation, but I've had, you know, friends in different situations.
Right.
And you need to have some respect for yourself, but also you're going to have to, you know, lift each other up.
Man,
so
that's so beautiful. You know, it's so funny. And it's one is literal and one is actual, like figurative, right? Or I can see these two situations playing the same role. You said you nursed his injuries in football.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about it, you almost did the same thing in love, right? And so you kind of have that personality where, one, I look at it like we have wings, but we just don't know how to use them yet. And I'm talking about myself too. So, and a little bit about me, I'll give some context is, I didn't realize how much I missed by my father not being around until I was like 22, 23.
Mm-hmm.
It started setting in.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, like, I don't know how to change the oil. Like, you know what I'm saying? All my homies know how to cut grass. And I was like, that's not something that it's like just little things. And then I started to realize, like, okay, I have to go out and seek this information.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to be able to run into someone like you, and I know Jeff is a great guy. Like, so he was going to be all right. He was going to be all right either way. But I hear it, and I liken it to the same way that you saying you physically had to deal with him being on the field and him sacrificing his body. Can you speak to, and Jeff, you too, just what were those nights like when you came home maybe injured and wasn't so sure about what the future was, even before the idea of Cookie Society was there?
You want to go first? You want me to go?
You can go.
I think for me, it was hard to see someone who I've always equated with strong and just really solid to be kind of nursing an injury. But it showed a different kind of strength to still be kind of a good husband when you were going through that, because I know you had a lot on your mind. So Jeff's, when you tore your bicep, that was a contract year for Jeff, meaning a lot was riding on that year.
Right.
Or it was the year before, I guess. It was going into a contract year, which, I mean, it was just really, there was a lot of uncertainty. I mean, we didn't own a home till we moved to Houston. You know, we just didn't know what was going to go on. But for you to still support me, I found out I was pregnant the day you found out you needed surgery and that season was over.
Yeah.
It was absolutely wild. I remember like, hey, Jeff, I'm pregnant. Oh, wait, we got to get on a plane and fly to New York for surgery.
Wow.
Like it was absolutely insane. But you're still such a great partner through that entire pregnancy, even though I'm sure there was a million things on your mind.
Yeah, definitely. I think that year, that was my third season after I tore my bicep. that's like the most critical year mm-hmm. as a young player. Mm-hmm. You know, your first year, you're a rookie. Mm-hmm. You feel your way out. Second year, it has to be better than your rookie year.
Absolutely.
They want to see that improvement. And that third year, that's where they make the decision. Like, hey, is this guy going to be around with this mm-hmm. organization, or are we going to move on from him? And I felt great going into that season. Like, mm-hmm. I got hurt week one.
Wow.
Tore my bicep. Wow. And I'm like, okay, you know, this can go one way or another. I played well enough the first 2 years for them to keep me. But, you know, that third year is pivotal. Exactly. They may say, all right, we're not going to keep this guy around. I might want to try to, you know, bench me or do something like that or release me. Who knows? So for me, it was a lot of uncertainty. But that was why I had a lot of growth, mm-hmm. not just as a football player, but as a man. Mm-hmm. I was able to understand, okay, and assess the situation. Okay, am I going to be okay if football doesn't exist for me anymore? Mm. And I had to start to find different passions and figure out myself.
Absolutely.
And a lot of us, you know, not even football players, a lot of us need to figure those things out.
Absolutely.
Who am I? You know, I found myself that offseason. I was able to spend more time with myself because I never, mm-hmm. I never had been hurt before.
Uh-huh.
So I was always go, 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 work. And finally, you know, it was a moment of just, you know, the first couple of months it was tough, but then I finally got a moment of peace. I was able to relax and kind of look around and say, okay, now it's time to figure out about me.
Uh-huh. I love it. So what do you say to a young man who still hasn't, quote unquote, found himself, starts to develop? And not saying you have all the answers, but based on your experience.
You just have to be honest with yourself. Just like you said, you didn't figure out that you lacked that father figure. You missed your dad until you were 22, 23. Mm-hmm. Everyone has those stages. And some people never figure it out. Mm-hmm. But you have to be honest with yourself. That trauma is real. Mm-hmm. Unpeel those layers. Mm-hmm. And have those conversations with yourself. Figure out why you're in a bad mood sometimes. Mm-hmm. Why you feel a certain way about certain things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you may not know the answer right away. But absolutely. If you keep asking yourself those questions, you talk to someone, whether it be a significant other, a therapist, whatever it is, mm-hmm. and you figure it out, then you start to find yourself, okay, that's what's triggering me. That's why I feel the way that I feel.
Exactly.
And those same things that are your weaknesses can become your strengths.
Absolutely. Like, absolutely.
That's mm-hmm. And I feel like that's what I've done.
I love it, bro. I love it. No, you spoke to trauma. There's so much trauma. One, around, you know, just first, just be honest, around just being Black, right? Yeah, like, just definitely. Being Black in this world. And, you know, and I throw this question at you, Marissa, Jeff, chime in. Given the fact people feel like somebody come with two-parent home, raised in the suburbs, mm-hmm. you don't know the Black experience. You don't really know the Black experience. Like, what you know? You got mama and dad at home. You probably had an allowance going, you know what I mean? This type of thing.
Yeah,
can you speak to, like, can you just debunk those myths and say, you know, well, I'm just curious of what was your experience as a Black woman growing up in that?
Mine was very different. I think I had not a culture shock, but I mean, my dad's an insurance agent and he's also very light skinned. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's passable. And my mom is a darker skinned Black woman, but she also is well educated. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I grew up in the suburbs. I played soccer, which is a predominantly white sport.
Right, right.
And so I definitely had some different experiences. Not that I didn't believe that those others were out there. Mm-hmm. But I really think it was when I got to college and even when I met you and just talking to you about some of your experiences. And I'll never forget, it was such a small thing, but, you know, police officers, we had this thing called the bike fair. Mm-hmm. And you come and learn about bike safety, you know, wearing your helmet and how to cross the street and all these kind of things. And the police officers would come and they bring their fire truck and they bring the, you know, the police car, and you got to look in there. And I had such a positive first experience, right? Some of my friends' parents were cops. But you talked to Jeff and he had never had, like, his first experience with cops was not that all. And that was really
first, second, third.
Yeah, that was such a wake up moment for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, as you get older and now I have a Black son, I have Black kids.
Yeah.
And you just start to look at things differently. And, you know, I do worry, like, how are we going to raise him to protect himself?
Right,
and
right.
I worry about Jeff sometimes, you know, just because he is a very large Black man.
Yeah.
And so I think that's probably one of the greatest, like, non-relationship related things that I've kind of learned from mm-hmm. Jeff that he's kind of taught me about is how to that different perspective.
Yeah, man.
That I didn't grow up with.
And I appreciate you for being able to take it and internalize mm-hmm. it and interpret it and then apply proper action towards it. Jeff, you were in the league in the thick of Colin Kaepernick
yeah.
and and kind of all this stuff that's going on now, which we've seen a change in the tone of the NFL. But could you tell me and walk me through what was going on in your mind and your heart at that time? And what are some of the things you would like to see happen from it?
It's great to see what's going on right now, whether if you feel it's authentic or not. Mm-hmm. You know, there's questions behind that, but at least there's a conversation now.
Absolutely.
I think in the beginning, a lot of guys felt the same way Colin felt. Mm-hmm. I would say majority. You see it now. A lot of guys are speaking out now.
Absolutely.
Because they have the comfort level and they have the backing of the league. Mm-hmm. But the same guys that feel that same way now felt it then when Colin got, you know, blackballed for it. It was just, we knew. Like, they made an example of him. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, they're going to do the same thing to me as they did Colin. Some of us weren't as great as players as Colin was.
Man.
So it was almost a fear of, all right, we feel this way, but at the same time, we have to provide for our families.
Yeah, still got to take care of home.
We still got to take care of our families. Yeah. We feel this way 100%. But, you know, it's our job.
Yeah.
I've always been an outspoken guy. Mm-hmm. I was in a different situation. I was at a financially stable situation.
Okay.
I was comfortable with, if it was over, I'm good. Uh-huh. So I was always vocal about it, but I understood why some guys weren't. And they got a lot of scrutiny from the public for it. Like, why isn't everyone speaking
exactly.
up?
Exactly.
You got to understand the dynamics of it. You got to understand who owns these teams. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of these owners have those same viewpoints.
Exactly.
The conservative viewpoint where they feel like none of this is real. Mm-hmm. Like, it's equal opportunity. Like, police brutality isn't real. You know, the people that are getting, there are victims deserve it.
Yeah.
Or they did something for that action. But that's not the case.
Bro, like, that's amazing. I appreciate your transparency and your honesty about, like, just that situation. Because I don't think a lot of people have gone on to say, like, man, we all really felt that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we were not in a position to just, you know, sacrifice the way Colin did. And of course, he was a sacrificial guy. You know, it happened right in front of us. I thank God that it worked out how it worked out for him. But now you're right. You have seen the countenance of the NFL change. It's a lot more support. I've noticed a lot more players are speaking out about it. And, and kudos to the NBA for how they're doing things now, too. You mentioned already, Marissa, talking to your son and your daughter, but specifically your son. What is the conversation that you guys are having? What's his name, by the way? I'm sorry.
Jay. Well, Jeff Jr.
Jeff Jr.
Jeff
Jr.
Okay. And then what's your daughter's name?
Joy.
Joy. So yeah. Jay and Joy. Okay. What's the conversation, you guys? I'm just curious if we could eavesdrop in on. Mm-hmm. What are you guys telling them about police brutality, social justice, and all that's going on?
Well, he's still three.
Yeah.
So mostly it's conversations between us. Like, how are we going to approach this? How do you, you know, tell your son that all cops aren't bad? But, you know, you have to behave a certain way and you might not get treated the exact same way. Mm-hmm. How do you?
I mean, we haven't had those conversations, but it's going to come a point where we're going to have those conversations where he's going out into the world on his own.
Yeah.
But for me, it'd be, hey, there are cops out there that don't have your best interests. Mm-hmm. Not all cops are bad cops, but you don't know what cop you're meeting that day.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you assess the situation. The most important thing is making it home. Uh-huh. You can deal with it. You can deal with it later. And I know it sucks saying you got to bite your tongue. It's not right. Mm-hmm. It's not right that we have to, you know, I don't want to call it behave a certain way. It's not dehumanize ourselves and not express our emotions.
Exactly.
When we have the right to.
We should be able to.
We should be able to, but you know the game we playing.
Yeah.
You know, it's not fair. It's not a fair game. So you know what's going on.
At this
just
point,
make it home.
Most times, exactly. Shout out to Toby. Most times, we're just trying to make it home.
Yes, sir.
Man, I got a wife, kids, whatever. I need to make sure I make it home. And so we're still finding ways to navigate through that. I know a lot of people want to know, and just to lighten it up a little bit, I know a lot of people want to know, how are you guys maintaining your love life and working together? Like, what's that balance? What's that?
Man.
I know. I'm about to tell on y'all a little bit real quick. This probably wasn't supposed to make it, but it's making an interview. Like, I think Jeff was like, hey, babe, you want to go get something to eat? She was like, I'm going home to go to bed. So I want to know, like, how are y'all managing that and give some advice to other people who are looking, other couples who may be looking to take this path.
Man, it's definitely a back and forth because you have to be even better communicators because now when you say certain things, even though it's business related, it's still husband and wife.
Right.
So sometimes you may take some things personal.
Yeah.
You go, well, I'm still your wife. You don't trust me. It's not that I don't trust you.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. When she says something to me, it's not that she doesn't trust me. it's what's in the best interest of the business.
Of the business.
So mm-hmm. you got to learn how to separate those two. Oof. Early on, it was like, yeah, we were looking at it like husband and wife.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can't look at it like that. You got to look at it like, okay, there's a reason why I'm telling you this, or there's a reason why she's telling me this. Mm-hmm. It's for the best interest of the business.
I love it.
It all comes back to being humble.
Yeah, and communicating.
All comes back to that, being humble and communicating. It's no different than business relationships. I mean, even if she wasn't my wife, you get in heated arguments, you get mm-hmm. in heated battles with decisions that you think are better than someone else's decision. Mm-hmm. But it's always finding that middle ground and figuring out, okay, this is what works.
Oh, dope. Yeah. What about you, Marissa?
We haven't really figured out the whole leave it at work thing. I feel like the business is still so new, and there's just so much change happening and so much growth, and it's just been really, really quick. And so, you know, sometimes we got to finish working at home. It's like, hey, I got to go pick up the kids. We can finish this when we get home. We're still trying to plan a staycation. We had a vacation plan, but then COVID. And so I think we've been talking about it. We just need to do a better job of like setting aside like, hey, we're really not going to work. It'll be okay. We have amazing managers. Mm-hmm. We've finally gotten to the point where we can step away, but we're stepping away to go work somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, to have to meetings and to figure out different things.
Right.
Yeah, but I think we just, it has to be so much more conscious now. And this is what we've been talking about in the last couple of weeks, is it's not going to just like, ooh, this is date night. It has to be really like planned out. It's got to be intentional.
Yeah. Intentional.
And that same intentions that we use with our business and accomplishing things here, we have to remember to apply to our relationship, I think.
Man, so. You just said.
But we have talked about this recently.
No, I think we're perfect.
I'm about to go home and go to bed.
We're apart from, exactly. I'm going to go eat dinner by myself.
Man, it's real. Like, no, you just hit something on the head. One of the things that, a lot of people end up realizing or discovering about love is that there's a work portion to love. Like you have to work it. You know what I mean? You have to invest in it and grow it just like anything else, like a business, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I know I was naive enough to think that love just happens automatically. And, oh, I'll be so in love that everything will just work out. It's like, no, you have to be intentional about how you do things. And you could take those same principles over to the business like you guys are doing here. So, no, that's amazing. So tell me, where are we going with this? Where is Cookie Society 5 years, 10 years? Like, or what's the, you know, is it Frisco only? Do we get one in Houston? You know what I'm saying?
Nah.
I know y'all shipping worldwide.
See, this is the conflicting,
part with us. I think we both have like grand visions.
Just different routes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just different routes.
Okay.
So
I'm more of the, you know, grow this thing.
Yeah.
You know, franchises.
Yep.
Nationwide. You know, grow it to a point where we can't no longer grow it anymore and then sell it. And she's more, we're going to keep this thing. You can talk about it.
Do tell me my vision.
You tell your vision.
I think my vision, it's my baby. I mean, I've been making thousands of cookies at home in my kitchen to really grow this. And so a part of me wants to keep as much control as possible. So I'm over here like, you know, Spanx did it.
Right.
She kept control of her business. She got four kids. I can do this too. But at the rate that we're growing, and it's one of those things like you kind of have to capitalize on, you know, the growth and the positive
momentum.
That's
why you have this snowball rolling downhill.
Yeah.
And so I think we've kind of figured out a good middle ground to do what we both want to do.
Nice.
E-commerce has been a huge part of our business. Mm-hmm. From the jump. So when we first started, we were only e-commerce.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started doing local pop-ups and stuff because people were like, how can I get a cookie like tomorrow?
Right.
And then we actually were looking first to do a production facility. So it wasn't going to be, you know, open to the public, but we were just going to really focus on e-commerce.
Right.
And things just kind of took a turn, and I'm glad they did. And so definitely more stores in the future. Hopefully we get to Houston.
You know what I'm saying?
Still love Houston.
Let me know if y'all need a partner in Houston. You know, I would definitely love
to. We got a map. We got a dream map going. And
that's awesome. That's great, man. I mean,
can't tell you too many secrets.
No, yeah, I was going to say, don't give away too much.
We got some plans. We got 5-year, 10-year plan.
I definitely get it. I appreciate it. You know, again, you guys just being so transparent. I can't stop looking at how y'all are looking at each other and checking with each other and complimenting each other about like the way that y'all decided to love each other all the way up until this point. So do you feel like, and this is a question, this is a random question, Jeff, do you feel like you would be working with her if you wasn't in love with her? Like if you guys weren't married?
Definitely. That's how I looked at it from the start. Mm-hmm. Like I love her, mm-hmm. but I'm very, I don't know. I'm a very logical person.
Gotcha.
So, like I said, like I invested in her not just because I loved her, mm-hmm. because of the work she was putting mm-hmm. in.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I knew that it wasn't going to go to waste. Mm-hmm. I knew she was going to do everything to make this succeed. Even though there wasn't a possibility that it wasn't, that's with every business, but yeah. I knew she was going to do everything in her power.
You were willing to bet on her.
I was willing to bet on her because of the work she put in. I saw the sacrifice. I saw her up late at night. I saw her scrapping cookies, figuring out the recipe. So,
And we didn't even really talk about, Marissa, your like cooking journey and mm-hmm. where, did you talk about where it started? Like how, and then the whole thing, I read somebody like you were cooking for the mailman or something like that. Like,
so I've always been in the kitchen since college. Feeding people is my love language. But we took a trip.
Wait, feeding people is your love language?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
It's a new one.
Okay.
I'm going to have to write the book on it. But that's definitely how I show love. And that's how I introduce myself. And that's kind of what I lead with is food. And so I was doing my food blog and we were traveling and we love to try new places. And I was like, Jeff, I heard of this bakery. People be waiting 30 minutes for a cookie.
Wow.
And so we drove to the other side of New York to try this cookie and it was amazing, but it wasn't like my ultimate cookie. But it had me thinking, it was great. It's still amazing. But it was like, if I could make a cookie, what would it be like? And I was just stuck on it. Like, mm-hmm. I think it was an obsession. Like, I was making cookies for everybody. I was sending up to the locker room. Yeah. I was giving them. If you knocked on my door in 2016,
it's a cookie.
You got a cookie.
That's what's up.
You got
man.
A cookie.
That's
that was
amazing.
I'd send people home with cookies because I had to get it out of the kitchen so I could make more cookies.
That's so dope, man.
Yeah, but I think talking about my kind of obsession, that was the same kind of drive that Jeff had with football.
Yeah,
and I think our like drive has always matched each other.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And so when you say, would we have worked together? I don't know if we would have known each other if we weren't married, but our kind of passions and our drive match and like our work ethic matches. And there's never been a question of, are you still working? Or like, oh, you don't give me any attention because you play football. It's always been, okay, I see what you're working towards.
Yeah.
And I think that's the sports, probably because we both are athletes, but it's just been same road. We're going to get there.
We're going to get there.
So,
okay. We're about to get into something. It's called rapid fire.
Cool.
You know what I mean? So this is how it works. All you have to do is say the first thing that comes to your mind. And since it's both of y'all, I'll give both of y'all a chance to answer. But the only rule is you answer as fast as you can. All right?
Cool.
It's nothing crazy. It's nothing going to trip you up. So again, just like, you know, I say Barney and then y'all say purple.
Purple.
Right. Exactly. There we go. All right. Here we go. So Black Love.
Oh, wait, who's supposed to go first?
All right, so
I'm like staring
ladies,
at you.
Ladies first.
Ladies first. Okay, so I should have pointed that out.
Ooh, all I can think of is fences, but not in a good way.
Okay.
Damn, that's terrible.
Excellent, okay.
Yes.
All right, so ladies first, and we'll go a little faster. Family.
Joy and Jay.
Love.
Success.
Arbitrary.
Legacy.
Like it. Let's more of that. Happiness.
Forever.
Together.
We're going to do a this or that. Diapers or dishes?
Dishes.
Dishes.
I think we already know the answer to this one. Date night or sleep night?
Sleep.
Country or city?
City.
City.
Sports channel or Food Network?
Food Network.
Sports channel.
White sugar or brown sugar?
Brown sugar.
White sugar and grits.
Hey, I'm weird because I do sugar, salt, and pepper in my grits. I know.
I thought you were about to throw cheese in there too, and I was about to talk about you.
Well, I've had cheesy grits before.
But not with sugar, right?
No, not with sugar.
Okay.
That doesn't make no. Okay. Favorite cookie?
Apple crisp.
Banana pudding.
Favorite thing about your spouse?
Ooh. The way you love your family.
Smile.
Me, your mom. Mm-hmm.
Smile.
Her smile. Favorite vacation place?
Ooh. Mine's Italy.
Dang. Expensive.
Right. He like, okay. Yeah. Noted. Okay.
I'm going to probably go Arizona.
Arizona. Spouse's shoe size?
7.
14.
Okay. Describe yourself in one word.
Gavin.
Okay.
Pitbull, because that's all.
Pitbull. I love Pitbull.
Jeff always calls me a little pitbull.
All right. This one is for you, Marissa. Jeff Allen is
a great man.
Jeff. Griffin. Marissa Allen is
committed.
All right.
That was good.
That was good. That was good. Okay. So the people want to know. The people want to know, what are you guys reading, watching, listening to? It doesn't have to be powerful, motivational, but if it is, even better. Just, you know, what are you guys doing on a day-to-day when you get some downtime, if you get some downtime?
As far as reading, I do a lot of ebooks because my hands are usually busy in the kitchen. But those early mornings when I'm in here by myself, I've recently done E-Myth. I like to do How I Built This as far as a podcast listening to.
Nice.
We've kind of been on some 90s, early 90s in the kitchen when it comes to music.
And you can't go wrong.
And as far as watching Great British Baking Show or Grace and Frankie on Netflix.
Sweet.
Okay. I've been reading and listening to ebooks about finance.
Okay.
A lot of finance, especially right now, what's going on in business, because that's a little bit different for us. We haven't been in this industry before.
For sure.
So learning a little different things about taxes.
Yeah, taxes. I do have a business degree in marketing, but it's different.
Yeah, it's definitely different. It's different. I have a degree too, but you got to get out in the world and
But the best teacher in life is experience. Yeah, and we've been learning for sure. I've been watching Lovecraft.
Okay.
Yeah, it's HBO.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I watch it by myself because she doesn't like anything with any suspense. We could be watching something and there's adultery and she looks at me like, I'm like, I didn't cheat on you. So we got to watch the British Breaking Show.
Right.
We've been listening to some 90s music.
Nice.
There's currently a debate on who has the best store playlist.
Definitely me.
I'm winning right now, if you were to ask. It depends on who you ask, you know?
Well, now you guys making me ask both of you individually greatest artists of all time.
Ooh.
Lauryn Hill.
Oh, that's a real good one.
That's my favorite.
I really like Whitney Houston. I love Beyonce, but I'm going to have to go with Whitney.
Okay. I'm not mad at either one of those. All right. So the next one is the obituary question, which you guys kind of answered, but I definitely want to hear a more detailed answer. Somehow you guys both lived to be 199. I don't know how it happened. And you died at the same time in each other's arm lovingly, and we're at the funeral and they're reading you guys' obituary. What does it say?
Mine would probably say that you lived with such a great focus, just a singular focus, and it was to take care of your family and to provide for your family emotionally, financially, and you were just always just real true. Like, everyone knew what you stood for. You're just a really honest man in that.
Is it
that
for
way.
Me?
Yeah,
that's cool. We can ride it. We can ride that.
Am I supposed to do yours? Was I supposed to do my own?
It's cool. That works actually.
I would say the nurturing spirit. Someone who, her nickname in college, they called her, what they call you, Grandma?
Mama Holdy. Grandma.
She's always been a nurturing person.
Dope.
And it wasn't like a slight or to demeanor, but it was just, she's always been that person that cared about other people. Making sure everyone else was okay.
That's awesome, man.
And putting others first. Yeah. But at the same time, just her drive and commitment is something that anyone can marvel at. It's something that can inspire you, and I think a lot of people can look to her, especially a lot of young women, young men,
for sure.
Say you can do anything.
We didn't write our own vows, but we should have. Look at this.
We should have.
Yeah, man.
We should have.
I wasn't this mature at the time,
No.
I just knew
been
I loved
through
you
a lot, but me too.
That's
like,
what's
he's
up.
So cute.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's a lot of love definitely just exuding, you can feel it and you can hear it. I'm so interested to hear this. I always like to leave the episode with last minute parting advice. It could be the greatest advice you've ever heard or just something that you like to leave with people. And it could be from the both of you or one individual thought.
Man, it's kind of like two thoughts. Mm-hmm. Like not putting too much weight in other opinions.
Yeah.
Except from those that really, not even people that really matter. Mm-hmm. You know what you want to do. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people have fear, you know, for their own dream, mm-hmm. and people have fear for your dreams. Mm-hmm. And it's not because they probably don't believe in you or anything like that. It's just probably, you know, they've seen so many people fail.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of felt that with the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, all my life, I wanted to be in the National Football League. I wanted to be a pro athlete. But the only person that ever, like, really believed in me at the time was my mother.
Mm.
Everybody else, uncles, sisters, cousins.
Yeah.
You ain't gonna do that. You know how many people that tried to do this in this family? Blah, blah. You better start thinking about plan B, school, which was true.
Yeah.
Parting advice number three.
Which was true. But always believe in your dream. Second thing, my mother would always tell me this is, don't ask for a blessing, be a blessing. Mm. And we were poor, poor as can be. And we didn't have anything, but she always was looking to be a blessing. And she never once asked for one.
Man.
And that's just the way I live my life.
That's beautiful, man.
Ooh. I think for me, my parting advice, if you needed, you know, a sign to tell you to go for it, go ahead and go for it. Let me be your sign. Jeff was definitely that for me because I was like, I don't know, Jeff. Like, our kids are so young. I had a list of reasons to not go for it. And I think if you're already thinking about it, you got to go for it because it's never going to get off your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that was kind of how you pursued the NFL. Like, there was not... It was never not going to happen mm-hmm. whenever I talked to you, mm-hmm. ever. Even when we first met, you're like, yeah, I'm going to go play in the NFL. And, you know, I'd never seen you play. I didn't know anything. I was like, oh, okay. But look at you.
That's what's up.
So.
That's what's up.
Commitment, man.
Mm-hmm.
Commitment. If you believe in something, it might sound cliche, like work, mm-hmm. work. I think, what's the name? Nipsey said it.
Yeah.
The best thing you ever did was not give up.
Mm-hmm. Like,
mm-hmm. That's all anyone that's successful ever done. Like, they didn't give up. They've had failures. There's ups and downs. There's no straight line of success. It's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know the end goal, you know the end game. Like, don't give up.
Yo, man, this has been a powerful episode. Could you guys just shout out, like, the website, the Instagram accounts, and where they can find?
Jeff's our current support. Social media
so
manager.
I run all the marketing right now. So you can find us at Cookie Society.
Mm-hmm.
Website's www.cookiesociety.com. Twitter, Facebook, at Cookie Society. My personal handle on Instagram is at JeffAllen71.
At First and Full.
First and Full.
I haven't updated as much.
Yeah.
I'm on a break. But yeah.
You can find us on there. And,
happy to chat with you.
Yeah, man.
You know, send me a DM. You know, not that kind of DM.
Don't slide my DM.
Hey, don't play with her. Hey, she's nice, but she'll cut you. Hey, no, listen. Hey, I want to just say, first of all, just thank you guys for allowing me the opportunity to interview you guys, for being on the Transformation mm-hmm. Chamber.
Ooh.
I'm happy to be here in Frisco, Texas. I'm happy to be with you guys. I'm happy to see your growth and success over the years.
Thank you.
You know, and I appreciate you guys so much, and so much love to your Joy and Jay.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. You know what I mean?
And my babies.
They are some lucky kids to have you guys as parents, right?
Thank
and you.
You
guys are just such a great example of love and leadership and humility and trust and commitment. Like, it's like you guys embody it so well. So I'm hoping this episode goes on to inspire a lot of couples that are working together and people who are considering it. And just follow them on social media. And yeah, man, this has been Transformation Chamber, man, the second installment of season 2. Check you guys next time.
Thanks Peace. For having us.
That's a wrap. Thanks for having us.
Thanks again for tuning in to the Transformation Chamber. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share. To find out more about Jeff and Marissa Allen, follow them at JeffAllen71 or at First and Full. Also follow at Cookie Society and visit their website at cookiesociety.com. To find out more about the Transformation Chamber, follow me at Joshua T. Dada or visit my website at joshuatdada.com. Until next time, peace.